This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Hadir amma ba'd fa inna astaqal hadithi kitabullah wa khairu hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sharrul umuri muhdathatuha wa kullu muhdathatin bid'ah wa kullu bid'atin dalala wa kullu dalalatin finnar. Alhamdulillah, as we gather together on the day of Jum'ah, today also in Arafah, the Hujjaj gather as well. And during these days of Hajj, it's important for us to remember and to reflect on the legacy of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam is not just a prophet, but one of the five greatest of the Anbiya, the Ulul Azam, the highest ranking of the prophets. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the term Uswatun Hasana, perfect role model, for only two prophets. There is the common verse in Surah Al-Ahzab that most of us know, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referred to as Uswatun Hasana. But in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and those who were with him also as Uswatun Hasana, a perfect role model. And today I want us to reflect on this perfect role model. I want us to reflect on some of the lessons we can take from the life of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam that we can apply into the modern world. So just to recap his life story, specifically for the youngsters in the audience, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam's story is the story of one man against the world. That's really what the story is. It's one man against the world. Starting at a very young age, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam is born into an idol worshipping community, and his father is actually the one who makes the idols. And when he rejects this belief, when he promotes Tawheed, when he calls to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only does his community reject him, not only does his own family reject him, but they try to kill him. I want us to think about this. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, in the story where the people take him and they throw him in the fire, he is, by modern terms, a child. Right? Historically, he was a young man, but in terms of how we look at people today, he would be considered a child. He was a very young man. And can you imagine at that age, at the age of 13, 14, opposing your entire community, being able to stand up for the truth, even if your own family want to kill you? And that's exactly what happened. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam's own family, not only did they reject his message, they wanted to kill him. They built this fire and they threw him into the fire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for the fire to be cool for Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he experienced this mu'ajiza that saved his life. But his story doesn't end there, because when they couldn't kill him, what did they do? They exiled him. They kicked him out of the land. And so Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, as a young man, has to leave the only place he knows as home and to travel and to find a new land and to find a new home. And it doesn't come easy to him. Whenever you study the life of any point of the life of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's almost always alone with just his family. It's him and Sarah. It's him and Hajar. It's him and Ismail. It's always him with like one or two family members. It's never him with a huge community. Yet despite that, he remains firm on his message. He remains firm on his mission. And he doesn't allow loneliness to make him give up. So Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam goes through many stages, and most of them, by modern terms, you would find it very lonely. There's a time when it's just him and Sarah, and they're trying to find a place to live, and a king kidnaps her, and he has to make dua, and Allah helps him get his wife back. Then there is a time when he marries Hajar, and they have a son, Ismail, and Allah commands him to leave them in the desert. And we all know the story. He leaves them in the desert. They put the tawakkul in Allah, and then the well of Zamzam comes, and then the desert becomes Makkah. We know the story. This is what Hajj is all about, celebrating that story. Then we have the building of the Kaaba, but with him and his son Ismail. And then we having been asked to sacrifice his son Ismail. Now, you know, the story of the sacrifice, sometimes you don't think about it from this context. This is a man who didn't have a lot of followers. His family were his followers. And his son is his most cherished follower, because this is the person who's going to continue his legacy after him. Being asked to sacrifice his son was the highest level of sacrifice that anyone was asked to do. And he and his son both passed that test, and so Allah gave us, you know, this ritual of the qurbani, of sacrificing an animal instead. But what I want us to do is not just to go through the story. We all know the story, alhamdulillah. All of us have heard the story over and over again from the time we are young. It's something that should be in our hearts. It's something we should know inside out. It should be a story all of us are familiar with. More important than that, what can we learn from it? What lesson can we take from the life of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and apply to our lives today? Lesson number one. Don't be afraid to speak the truth even if you are alone. This is one of the most important lessons you can take from the life of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Do not be afraid to speak the truth even if you are alone. It can be very scary to stand up for the truth when the entire world is going astray. And we see that today in many areas, right? The world has become anti-religious and it's become scary to be a religious person in public. The world has become very immoral, very depraved, very caught up in all kinds of evil when it comes to morality. To be a lone voice of the moral standards of Islam can be very difficult, especially in the workplace. But we have our role model in Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. That this is a man who, even when he was all alone, no matter how young he was, no matter how old he was, he always spoke the truth. And what's interesting is the Quran gives us both sides. They give us Ibrahim alayhi salam as a teenager, standing alone for the truth. And they give us Ibrahim alayhi salam in his 90s, standing alone for the truth. Meaning it doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter how old you are. You stand for what is right. And alhamdulillah, today when you stand for the truth, you don't stand alone. Now, none of us are in the same situation as Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. We have each other. Right? We have a community. We have people who, you know, are there to back us up. But we have to stand for the truth. We should not ever be afraid to speak the truth, regardless of what our enemies think. So lesson number one, stand up for the truth, regardless of the consequences. Number two, is that sometimes your own family will reject your message. And this is not just a lesson from the story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is a lesson that you will find in the stories of most of the prophets. So Prophet Nuh alayhi salam had to deal with his own son rejecting his message. Prophet Lut alayhi salam had to deal with his own wife rejecting his message. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had to deal with his uncle Abu Lahab. We have all of these examples in the Quran and in the seerah to let us know that whatever you're going through, there is a prophetic role model in how to deal with it. And that guidance is not guaranteed for anyone. So how do you deal with this? How do you deal with the idea that a family member has gone astray? How do you deal with the fact that a family member has rejected the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You deal with it the way the prophets dealt with it. You put your trust in Allah. You try your best to be a role model for that person, to be a means of da'wah for that person. You make dua to Allah to guide them back to the straight path. By the end of the day, you accept that whatever choices they make as an adult are between them and Allah. And you cannot control the hearts of anyone else. And so yes, sometimes even our own families will turn against us when we speak the truth. A third lesson that we take from the life of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam is the importance of tawakkul. And every aspect of the story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam is an example of tawakkul. When his people take him and they throw him into the fire, and the angel Jibreel comes and asks him, you know, can I do anything for you? And he just puts his tawakkul in Allah. You know, he lived by hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. He lived by this phrase that Allah is enough for us and he is the best of protectors. And so Allah made the fire cool for him. We see the tawakkul of Hajar alayhi salam. When they are left in the desert And she asked her husband, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, why are you leaving us here? Did Allah command you to do so? And when he affirms that Allah commanded him to do so, she says that Allah will never abandon us. Tawakkul. We see this tawakkul again when he has the dream about slaughtering his son Ismail, and he asks his son, a young man, what do you think? And his son says, do what you are commanded. Inshallah, you'll find me patient. Again, the tawakkul of Ismail. Every stage of the story, we see tawakkul. And this is a quality that has been lost in our times. You know, we live in a very materialistic age. We put our tawakkul in our credit cards. We put our tawakkul in our jobs, in our businesses. We put our tawakkul in everything else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to move away from that. We have to learn to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows best. We have to trust the qadr of Allah. Even when things aren't going our way. Even when things seem bleak. Even when it feels like there's no hope. Always put your trust in Allah. Because the one who made the fire cool for Ibrahim, he can solve your problems as well. So we must learn to live a life of tawakkul. These are some of the lessons we take from the beautiful life of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. We learn to speak the truth. We learn to stand by the truth. We learn to stand by the truth even if our own families reject us. And we learn to live a life of tawakkul and to put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to allow us to follow in the footsteps of His righteous prophets and the righteous predecessors. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقْنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير حدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Towards the end of the life of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was commanded to build the Kaaba. And after building the Kaaba, he was commanded to give the call for Hajj. And you can imagine the scene. It's an empty desert. And Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam stands and he fulfills the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives the call for Hajj, wondering who will respond. Who will respond to this command? Who will respond to this call? And Allah says, you give the call and I will ensure they come from everywhere. Today, thousands of years later, millions of people go for Hajj every year. And there are lessons to take from this. There are lessons to take from the fact that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he gave that call, he did not see millions of people coming. He did not see it. He did not live to see it. This happened thousands of years after he passed away. And there is a very important lesson in this for all of us. And that is that sometimes you will not see the fruit of your efforts in your lifetime. This is very important. You know, we live in an age of instant gratification. We want everything now. You know, we want to get rich quickly. We want our businesses to succeed overnight. We want our da'wah to take, to change the world overnight. The people want an instant khilafat and they want everything overnight. And when things don't happen immediately, we lose hope, we give up. This is not the Islamic way. The Islamic way is to understand that things take time. And especially if you're working for the sake of Allah, especially if you're working on a project for the sake of Allah, you may not see the fruit in your lifetime. You are planting a seed, and that seed may only grow into a tree long after you have passed away. But that doesn't matter, because the reward will still be yours. And we don't just see this with Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, we see this over and over and over again in our history. For example, when you look at the Sahaba, think about this. Like many times when we think about the Sahaba, we think about Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. But we forget to think about Sumayya. We forget to think about Mus'ab ibn Umair. We forget to think about Hamza. May Allah be pleased with all of them. None of these Sahaba got to see the results of the efforts. None of these Sahaba got to see the Khulafa Rashidin era. None of them got to see Islam grow into a superpower. They all passed away very early on. Yet they're rewarded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what they did. We see this also with later generations. Imam al-Bukhari, he never got to see the fruit of his efforts. He never got to see the world accept Sahih Bukhari and make it the most authentic source of hadith. This happened after he passed away. You know, many of the great imams passed away in prison. They never got to see the fruit of their efforts. We see this even with the founders of empires. You know, when you look back historically, you know, we have this fascination with Etrurul and Usman and the Ottoman Empire. But the reality is they never saw the fruit of their efforts in their lifetime. You know, when we talk about the Ottoman Empire and the great power it grew into, that was hundreds of years after they made those first efforts. Hundreds of years later. And that's what it takes. You know, it takes hundreds of years of effort, of generation upon generation to produce something great. Our problem is we rush it. We want everything now. We want everything immediately. And when we don't get things immediately, we give up. You know, someone starts an Islamic project, and within a year, they don't see the numbers that they want, and they give up. Somebody starts a business, and within a year, they're not wealthy, and they give up. You know, somebody opens up a masjid, and within a year, you know, there's not much activity going on, and they give up. No, this is not the right way. Don't give up. If what you're doing, if you believe in it, if you believe there's benefit in it, if you believe that this is something that the ummah can benefit from in the long term, then don't give up. Because maybe your whole life will go by without you seeing the fruit of your efforts. But the next generation continues your work. And the generation after continues their work. And it grows slowly and slowly. And 100 years later, it's something special. So this is one of the most important lessons that we can take from the life of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. He never lived to see millions of people going for Hajj. But he built the Kaaba and he gave the call. And he put his tawakkul in Allah, and Allah answered his call, and he continues every single year to answer that call for him. And so we need to start thinking like this. When it comes to our Islamic projects, we need to think in terms of thawab e jariya. We have to think in terms of after I pass away. That's what we need to think in terms of. Not in terms of how many people attended. Not in terms of, you know, how many followers do I have. No, think in terms of after I pass away, will this continue to be a source of reward for me? And every project we build, we must build it with the intention of sawab jariya. That if I pass away today, I will continue to get the reward from this project tomorrow. And after that, for generations to come. And when we think like that, then inshallah, our focus will always be on the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not on worldly results. Because worldly results are not guaranteed. If you start a wonderful, amazing, brilliant Islamic project today, there is no guarantee you're going to get worldly results for it. But you're rewarded with Allah. You're rewarded with Allah, and that's all that matters. So we need to move away from this materialistic way of thinking that it's all about the numbers and it's all about, you know, how many shahadas I got and how many followers I have and how many people attend my lectures. No, move away from that. And focus entirely on the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because anything done for the pleasure of Allah, there is barakah in it. And even if you don't see the fruit of it in this world, you will see it in the next world. We ask Allah to make us steadfast. We ask Allah to grant us the ability to follow in the footsteps of our righteous predecessors. We ask Allah to accept our efforts and to put barakah in them and to make them a means of guidance for this ummah. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اقم الصلاه